Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Core Competency. And I and my robotic hybrid slave, Dr. Sexopolis, have very, very special show for you tonight. We have auteur, bicycle expert.
Olympic kickboxer.
And you have an IQ of the world's highest IQ, second only to
Marilyn Vos Savant,
who I believe you lost to at a recent contest in Portugal, where in triple overtime, she beat you because she knew the names of all four Teletubbies, and you only knew Tinky Winky.
But you did break her nose in return, correct? No, the nose breaking, I guess, was greatly exaggerated.
But we're getting a little bit off tangent already.
Hey, record, even for us.
Tonight's very special guest is Sharon Davis. Sharon is the board member, youth services director, and phone line volunteer for the Pittsburgh Zone Gay and Lesbian Community Center, the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh.
Thank you. The one and only.
Earlier in the lobby, we were talking about the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh, and you said it was very important to say of Pittsburgh. So are there other gay and lesbian community centers?
Oh, yeah. There are a tremendous number of gay and lesbian community centers around the country. They may not be called that. For example, in San Jose, there's something called the Billy DeFrank Center, named after a guy named Billy DeFrank. But
what a coincidence.
You'd never know.
Yeah.
And when I was in Salt Lake City visiting my brother over the summer, there is the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Utah, although it is in Salt Lake City. It has to be for the whole state because, honestly, they're even lucky to have one at all in Utah.
And there's not much
Utah.
In Utah, like not many people in Utah.
Actually, there are a lot of bars in Utah, surprisingly so. And you know what? In Utah, the gay and lesbian rodeo is really, really big. But I'm getting off. What I really want to say.
There's no such thing as off topic on this show.
There is something called the National Association of Lesbian and Gay Community Centers, and this is organized out of the Lesbian and Gay Community Services Center in New York City. And they did this because community centers were popping up all around the country. Some have been there for quite some time. Some of them are large, small, staffed quite heavily, like in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and some other places, New York City, for example. And others are all volunteers, such as ours here. But they saw the power of the institution of a community center to serve as a hub of the community, provide very important information to help be a link to community members and community resources, and also help to get out the vote, which is very important, not necessarily to endorse candidates, but to have some kind of emphasis on the political process, that we are part of the political process, and as gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people, and those who like us and care about us and are not embarrassed to be seen with us, that we do have a vested interest in the election and their results. And part of the National Gay and Lesbian Community Center's emphasis is to get out the vote, is to try to get people to register, to make a commitment to vote, to become informed about who the candidates are, to support our issues, and obviously other issues as well that are important to you, but certainly to not be apathetic, to not remain ignorant, and, you know, really, especially
how can you expect to blend in with mainstream America with that attitude? It's all about apathy.
Well, it all depends, you know. Nevertheless, there are probably over 100 members of this organization.
Here in
Pittsburgh? No. The national. And I believe that at least five or six people met with the Clinton administration last year. There was an article in the Washington Blade to that effect. They met with Donna Shalala Clinton. Obviously, Barney Frank was there. And, you know, the woman who runs, Paula Wolf, who runs the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Utah, was even there. And I'm sorry to go on about this, but I just want to emphasize that community centers are a growing force within the nation, in other countries as well. We hopefully serve and act responsibly and provide a certain role in the community that is not met otherwise.
Just to go off topic for a second, I actually was interested in something you said. Since tonight is the night of the Bush-Gore debate, you know, you said the community center tries to stay nonpartisan, but you, Sharon Davis, personally, can any self-respecting queer person vote for George W. Bush? Yes or no?
Well, George W. Bush, just to toss in a little devil's advocate before you answer, he did remember meet with the Log Cabin Republican group down in Texas.
So what?
Well,
most of those people are deluded as far as I'm concerned. They're totally in denial. Hmm. And nevertheless, I think, well, it'll be on everyone's conscience. And I know that there are various gay and lesbian people who do ally themselves with the Republican Party. I wish them great luck in the world. And I hope that they won't live to regret it. That's all I could say. I think if you are not one of the people that helps to oppress yourself, you know, often there is some kind of wanting to ally yourself with the powerful. They pretend that, you know, their silence will protect them, and obviously it doesn't.
It
could for a while, right, until you're found in a gay bar, which is, sure, just recently what happened, and then you're exposed for the hypocrite that you are.
No, I'm laughing because as soon as I mentioned politics, the phone rang. And so we have a caller. I'd like to put the caller on the air. I don't know what kind of trouble I've gotten Sharon and the rest of us into, but hello, caller.
Hello. I just wanted to mention that George W. Bush did not, in fact, meet the Log Cabin Republican. He pointedly avoided meeting with the Log Cabin Republican. That was some gay people. But he pointedly avoided meeting with the Log Cabin Republican. That would have given too much legitimacy to a gay group.
Oh, so is it just a random collection of gay Republicans he met with in Texas?
Yeah, exactly.
Caller, can you please speak up?
Okay, so if our fabulous radio listeners didn't hear our fabulous caller, he was correcting me. It wasn't the Log Cabin Republicans, which is a more organized group of Washingtonian gay Republicans, but just another collection of gay Republicans.
Let me just say,
the Tar Paper Shack Republicans.
I do think for those who are within the Republican Party who would like to make some change, I sort of find some similarities of those that remain within very homophobic religions that either want to try to work from the inside to change them or are obviously in total denial. And so if they can make some progress, fabulous. But and I wish them the best. But I don't think that we should be deluded to think that that is the way to go.
So,
and
so who do you think you're going to be voting for?
Who do
Gore
I think
Nader?
I'm going to be going
for? You personally, Gore or Nader, then, or Buchanan? Just to be fair to all four parties.
You know, I really wish in my heart of hearts I could vote for Patrick Buchanan because I really admire that he's such an idiot. But
he does have a black Marxist as a running mate, female Marxist as
I know
a running
that.
Mate, which is pretty interesting.
Is that Lenora Fulani?
Yes.
And that is really ironic as well. I will be voting for Mr. Gore and Mr. Lieberman.
Not Ralph Nader.
No, I think my friend John will be voting for Ralph Nader. I think he wants to do a protest vote because I think he's sick of the system as it is, and I certainly understand and respect that, but I think I better vote for Gore and Lieberman. I'm sorry.
And actually, us here at WRCT Pittsburgh do not support Ralph Nader because he refused to do a public announcement for us. So the station has officially hated him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure that will destroy his campaign.
The effects of that ban will ripple across America.
Oddly enough, us and Tartans were the only two people at his press conference.
And he dissed us. Oh, well.
But this show isn't about Ralph Nader. Well, indirectly it is, but it's mostly about you, Sharon. I actually want to have our listeners get out their pencils because there's some important facts that I want you to write down.
There will be a quiz.
So your pencils, your crayons, try to remember how to make all the letters of the alphabet because I'm going to be telling you some important information. Our own website, of course, is the most important thing, sextalk.wrct.org. The phone number, in case you want to call in and harass Sharon or myself or Dr. Sexopoulos, but he feels no emotions because he was...
My superior robotic brain.
Phone number on the station is 621-WRCT, or if you don't understand how letters and numbers and the phone relate, it's merely 621-9728. If you're on the CMU campus, it's merely 89728. What else was I going to say? Oh, the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh has a phone number, 412-422-0114. If you have any kind of question, comment, or concern related to gay life in Pittsburgh, your own needs. They are not a crisis center, if I understand that correctly, Sharon, but they provide all kinds of...
helpful information.
Support, encouragement. So I'd like to subtly segue to the phone line a bit, unless you wanted to... I don't want to derail your agenda, whatever it is.
I have no agenda.
Excellent. But I wanted to talk to you about a little. Well, first, actually, I should say the Gay and Lesbian Community Center is a fabulous resource. It's right on Forward Avenue. I forget what the address is. It's on here somewhere.
It's Forward in Murray.
5808 Forward Avenue in Squirrel Hill. Did I give their phone number yet? 422-0114. And they do a number of services for the community. They have a phone line. They have a special youth night for youth 20 years and under. I mean, am I eligible to go to youth night? Perhaps be a youth coordinator?
Well, if you go back into the time machine, you could participate. But
youth massage coordinator.
You have no way of proving that he's not 20 or younger. You'd have to saw him in half and count his rings.
Exactly. I mean, where is the supposed inclusiveness of the queer community if I can't go to youth night and hang out with the...
Well, that's what Pegasus is for on Tuesdays and Thursday nights.
The community center also has a fabulous, well-stocked library, banks, books, magazines, so on. And, they have a website, GLCCPGH. I got that wrong. www, of course, .glccpgh.org. Those code letters obviously stand for Gay and Lesbian Community Center, Pittsburgh.
Of Pittsburgh.
So... I hope I haven't screwed that up too badly. So, but when I understand, I mean, when I first came to Pittsburgh, the Gay and Lesbian Community Center was like a guy, you know, in a teepee living in the sewer, right? I mean, it's grown immensely since then, I think.
But unfortunately, they no longer have the team of trained rats, right, that this guy had, which is...
You never know. I think we do have some fleas, unfortunately. when I first came to Pittsburgh, I came here for graduate school, and the first... phone call I made was to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center.
Really?
I looked it up in the phone book under the word gay, and there it was.
Fantastic.
Amazingly so. And it's so simple. You could just open the phone book. It's not like it's really a mystery. It's very easy to find. And we decided to put it under the word – under gay rather than lesbian because it was easier to find the word gay and some people could spell it easier.
Yeah.
You know, there are often spelling mistakes with the word lesbian. And we have found this. This is quite evident in, you know, 12-year-old boys. They can't spell it. They can say it, but they can't spell it.
Imagine somebody calling the Lebanese center by accident or, you know, vice versa.
Oh, imagine the wacky mix-ups that could ensue.
That's an Adam Sandler movie right there or something.
No, but seriously.
Two entries in the phone book, though. I mean, that's, you could have an entry under lesbian, entry under gay, an entry under transgender. And
entry under queer.
Well, if the phone book were set up that way. But I think you get one. But probably if you look it up under the website or if you do some kind of search on the internet, it would probably come up gay and Pittsburgh, and there are various community groups that would come up or whatever. But anyway... when I called from the train station and I had to stay there till 3 in the morning or something, I got this really long recording on their answering machine, which sort of cut itself off. But now that is not the case. If you call our phone line during regular phone line hours when you will get a human being, and our phone line hours are Monday through Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. and on Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m.
So is that 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. or 6:30
yes.
a.m.?
Okay. So it's just 6:30 p.m.
Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't being...
I sense some judgmental attitude there, but it is
no.
3 hours
it
in the evening.
It was ambiguous. I was
6:30 to 10. So 6:30 is about when Family Feud comes on. No. Is that right?
A MASH, yeah.
Come on.
No, I don't know. and actually, we have blocked our phones in terms of, well, I guess when we call out or... I don't even want to know why I'm
like
saying
the caller ID thing?
Yeah, because caller ID, because sometimes it has occurred that when some kids have called, it has shown up on their caller ID and their parents sort of know, and that sometimes is very embarrassing. So we try to avoid
outed
that.
By caller ID. Out. Yeah.
I think caller ID is awful. It's such an invasion of privacy. So anyway, those are the times when you can catch a live human being. Otherwise, you could hear a recording, like press one, you'll hear about the bars. Press two, you'll hear about other things. You can do that kind of thing. You could leave a message. And it would be nice if you want to leave a message, tell us when we should call you back or if, you know, we're allowed to call you back or if your mom or your dad might pick up the phone, because those are things we really would rather not deal with. But we're very glad to provide whatever information or support that we can offer you that you're interested in.
So how is the just a kind of general question here, how is the mission of the GLCC of Pittsburgh or the phone line in particular, how is this changing in the age of the Internet, right? There's a vast amount of information which can be conveyed on the web. And that, you know, people don't have to call up to ask necessarily. Have you noticed a change necessarily in the type of calls you get, or is the GLCC trying to put a lot of this information on the web so people can?
I really don't think the web, the advent of the Internet has really taken away a lot of our calls. Maybe I could describe some of the types of calls that we get or some of the subject matter, and maybe you'll understand why. One of the reasons why many people call the phone line is that they're looking or trying to find some kind of gate or skate-supported person to talk to you. Sometimes you can find that on the Internet, but it is a little bit more impersonal than actually talking to a human being and them talking back to you. And that's one reason. Other reasons are sometimes people just want to know what's really going on. And we know that, well, basically, I think the community center serves as like a gay and lesbian visitors bureau, because we get tons of calls, honestly. I'm not making this up.
Gay Chamber of Commerce.
Exactly. From people that are visiting. And more people, we know more and more people are visiting Pittsburgh because we're getting a lot of calls from people from out of town. And I write
those
down where they're from.
Lost souls. What are they doing in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. They're on business and they're looking to go out and find
plans.
A hot date for the night. I mean, honestly, that's really what it comes down to. Or though most of the time.
They should get DJ cue cards phone number.
Yeah, I should get your phone line forwarded to my house.
We should have your number up on the wall.
That's right. Speed dial.
And regardless of what hour they call,
right,
we'll refer them to you.
Willing and able.
Anyway,
sure,
your boyfriend wouldn't mind.
He
likes to
you popped that bubble. Right back to reality.
So, I mean, people do find us on the web. There is information available in other sources. There is a Queer Pittsburgh website. I mean, there are many, many websites available sometimes. But I really think for a lot of people, it's the personal contact that they're looking for and some kind of affirmation that they're looking for as well, that you cannot always find just by looking up and finding an address of someplace. That
right.
is not really going to help you.
I think somehow too, you sort of said this, but even if you're chatting with someone on the internet, because it feels so much more anonymous than actually hearing a human voice, it might be more comforting to actually talk to somebody on the phone, because you can hear what they sound like and you can hear them. I mean, you know, if you're chatting with someone in an internet chat room who might be supportive, I mean, it might be an FBI agent, it might be somebody who's just toying with you. It could be any kind of freak. I think if you call, am I making any sense here? Just.
Yeah, totally.
Smack me down if I've stopped making sense. But the point is, I think hearing someone's voice over the phone can be
good,
nurturing, soothing, supportive.
I'm sure we've helped some people through some rough times, and many of our calls are quite mundane. Actually, they're asking for what bars are good on Wednesday nights. You know, where is the bathhouse in the city? What film is playing at the Harris? Or, you know, can you please read me some personal ads from the newspaper? And at that point, I say, no, get one yourself.
Wow.
No, but honestly.
So you don't cater to the very lazy gay and lesbian community of Pittsburgh?
I try not to. I try to encourage literacy. Seriously, I really don't think that is my role. I sort of see it as an abuse of the phone line. But what was I going to say? Our phone line volunteers are trained. We just don't take anybody off the street and stick them in the room. We do have a 2-day training, and there are extra in-service kinds of sessions that
you
they have to go through.
So you don't outsource it to prisons like a lot of travel agencies do?
No, we don't. And I think it's pretty much a decent training. I mean, I've written down some notes. They deal with things like listening, active listening skills. They deal with homophobia in our society and some of its implications for people, barriers to getting help. We have community referral information that people become acquainted with. We have role plays, certainly. We have people from various organizations come in and speak to the phone line volunteers during the training, especially those from more, let's say, controversial organizations, and help actually tell the truth about what they're about, because we often get calls from people who really don't know where else to call. It's amazing to me that so many teenage boys who are supposedly straight call us and ask us sex questions, honestly. I've talked to more like 16-year-old boys about sex with other boys than I ever thought was possible or imaginable in my life.
So are these a lot of questions like, I did this or I think this, does this make me gay? Is that what you mean? Or is it more like...
This is one of these moments, I'm sorry, when I have to take over...
Grab
the controls and say, turn the detail knob way up on this one. Sharon, paint us a vivid tapestry of a 16-year-old caller, straight caller.
Well, I don't know if they're really straight. I mean, maybe before they just did this thing last night, they thought they were straight. And it brings up a lot of issues. It brings up a lot of emotions. And it brings up, obviously, a lot of confusion. And I don't know if you can remember some of these things or you can imagine some of these things. For example, sometimes young people call and they're very nervous about calling, number one. I think for many people, they're not sure who is safe to talk to about this. And they're probably going to have to reveal something very intimate and very personal about themselves. And one of the things I do want to point across is that it is anonymous when we speak to people. Sometimes we do ask for names, but we don't ask for where they live or their phone number or anything, because sometimes we just want people to feel comfortable. Sometimes I try to make people laugh, and sometimes it helps them get over being nervous. And some people are very forthright and very easy and very comfortable about talking to you. But some details that you might like, some boys actually call and say that they have just had sex with their best friend, or they have had various types of sex, and then we have to sort of get down to what kind of sex that they're talking about, whether it's in their imagination or whether it's in reality, number one. A lot of the concern is about HIV infection, honestly. And it just goes to show that the public schools have failed terribly to educate teenagers about the reality of transmission. And especially for kids that might be having sex with kids of the same sex or even opposite sex, it's not very helpful, apparently. There's still a lot of confusion around this.
It seems like the major teaching point is abstinence, right? Like, it seems to be... Like the politically motivated method or politically, what's the word, approved method of teaching HIV, non-transmission. Oh, abstinence.
Well, it doesn't really help people in reality.
No.
but seriously, some people are worried, are they normal? You know, they have these feelings, they have this feeling about their best friend they didn't really know they have. Are they normal to have this feeling? And this is a question that a lot of us have when we're younger or even older who are coming out. Is what we're feeling normal? And I have to say yes. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't mean that the rest of you is normal, but this aspect of you is normal because it happens to thousands of people every single day. And it's just part of the human experience for many, many people. So I think some people want to feel that they're okay, that they're not freakish, that they're not unusual, even though they may feel very isolated and alone. Some boys call and think that what they've just done last night is going to kill them because they don't understand what they've done. Probably won't kill them, but what they really do need to do is to learn. And they need to have somebody to talk to about what actually is high risk, lower risk, and how to make kinds of judgments and how to talk about sex with a person they're having sex with. And these can be kind of scary things. And especially if you're being very overwhelmed, I can imagine it is a lot to deal with. And for people to feel that they have some kind of control over their bodies and what they're going to do. You know, I'm sure that we can all remember the first time that we actually had the opportunity to have sex with somebody else. Maybe some of these things never even crossed our minds. And I guess if you're not dealing with the risk of pregnancy, there are so many other things that come up as well. Or maybe you just forget about because you're so amazed that you're actually even doing this.
And that you got to meet the President of the United States in the first place, yeah. Or at least speaking for me personally.
It happens. What can I say? So these are just some of the examples of some of the things that young people talk about. We had a 12-year-old boy call us, ask if there was a gay camp that he could go to. I thought that was a good call.
Did you send him over to Camp Corey, care of WRCT? No, that is not even funny.
Not in this state.
Stop it.
This country.
Not even funny.
So, well, yeah, what was your answer to this?
Well, you haven't. You weren't out of jail at that point. So,
is this? Is there such a thing?
Well, not in Pittsburgh, but I do know of a place called Camp Camp, or there are actually there's a publication that we get at the GLCC called Gay Family, and this is about gay and lesbian people who have children, or gay people who have parents, honestly. And there is a movement to try to meet the needs of gay and lesbian people who have children, which is obviously increasing either by people having children within same-sex relationships or people who have been married before and have children or people who are adopting children. I mean, that is increasing. And actually, that's very, very important because we're becoming foster parents. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for places for their kids to go that are not like traditional sports-oriented camps where people get called fag or dyke all the time. And that they can go and make friends and they can, you know, have arts and crafts and as being the emphasis, or for the girls, at least sports. But I mean, no, honestly, that there are places where they can feel comfortable, where they're accepted as who they are. And that is the norm.
So was that what you did to this for this 12-year-old?
At the time, we didn't. I don't think those places really existed, or they weren't as well publicized as they are now. There are many, many more resources, and they will be growing. For people with children and for children who are coming out, or for parents who actually care about their kids and they want their kids to make friends in an inclusive and supportive environment. And, you know, kids are coming out younger and younger, 14, 15. We've had 13-year-olds come to the community center. There's a group called PFLAG, which stands for Parents, Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and they deal with parents of all ages who have kids of all ages that are queer or whatever, and more parents who are having kids in their early teens are starting to, you know, receive support because they know that their kids are gay. And actually, more and more kids are telling their parents that they are gay while they're still in junior high school or high school. And I think for a lot of us,
that
was sort of unimaginable and takes a lot of guts. And I really think that these kids have a lot of courage. And instead of putting them down, we should support them and respect them.
Yeah, I still haven't told my parents I date.
And they haven't figured it out.
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, you're in robotics, so what does it matter?
That's right. That's true. I only date within my own electronic species. You fleshy humans are all doomed. But I digress.
Well, Corey, I don't know if that was salacious
who is
enough
this
for
Corey
you.
Person of which you speak?
DJ Co. Core Competency.
DJ Core Competency.
No,
sorry.
What was the question?
Because, you know, his identity is a closely guarded secret.
That's right.
Sorry. I don't know. But I just wanted to get across that. Our phone line volunteers have heard it all before. They really have. And if they haven't, they're about to. And so calls about any kind of thing are welcome. Just please don't abuse the phone line volunteers by getting off at their expense, as it were, because we have other things to do. We could be watching TV.
So I sent a story here, Sharon. And once again, we'd ask you to turn the detail knob up a few notches.
Occasionally, we get calls from people. Well, let's say there are certain people who like to talk to other people of a certain gender. For example, there are certain men that call the phone line at the GLCC that only will speak with women. And there are certain men that will only speak with men. And sometimes that's okay. but sometimes I question the legitimacy of why they're calling. And after a while, it's quite clear. They're just there to waste your time.
The shortness of breath.
That's right. That sometimes gives away, or the abrupt termination of the call.
That's a pretty unusual and very special fetish. They're asking you about queer resources in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile,
no, often they're talking about their wife. Sometimes these are real calls. There are men, and sometimes you have to wonder if they're for real or not. And after you do this for a while, you sort of wonder. But, you know, there are certain men who call up and wonder about their wife who's a lesbian, and they have all these questions. And sometimes they call and wonder why their wife isn't having sex with them the way that they would like them to. And then they ask you personal questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wonder about that. And you wonder, you know, is this really a problem, or they're just there and they have nobody else to talk to? Maybe they feel that at a gay phone line.
Maybe you come under the miscellaneous column for them, right? Like, if you can't get your answer from your priest, from your coworkers, from your friends at the bar,
right,
call the
gay
LCC.
Right. We're the dumping ground. But no, honestly, I think that...
No, the open resource.
We will be non-judgmental up to a certain point.
Up to the shortness of breath and the rhythmic thumping.
Right. That sometimes gives it away. But most of the calls are not like that.
I
don't want to give the impression that it's ridiculous. I want to say that many people obviously are looking for support. Many people are looking for community-related information, either for lawyers, for doctors, for dentists, for real estate people, for massage therapists. Sometimes people are looking – a lot of young people call and say, well, where can I go to meet other people my age?
Was that directed at me?
Yes, that was directed at you.
So I'm sensing a little in the supposedly inclusive gay and lesbian community center. I'm sensing a theme of ageism.
I think it's just anti-DJ cold cut.
There are some you know, tragically pouty little 18-year-olds that would love to have someone like me.
A wiser, more experienced soul.
You do bring up a very valid issue. I mean, in our society, it's only been very recently that young people have really had access to gay and lesbian role models that are adults that actually have it together. Before, it was very difficult to find, and we do have volunteers at the community center on youth nights that are adults that have had to pass clearances and all that kind of stuff. And so,
again, a pointed look at me. What? You know?
No, but seriously,
I've never been convicted of a crime
in this country
in the past 10 years.
No, but it's very important for young people to feel that they have a sense of the future. They can connect with people who obviously can serve as role models to them that they can relate to in an appropriate way.
Are you the only resource for gay lesbian youth in Pittsburgh?
No, not necessarily. There's an organization called Youth Services of Pittsburgh that sponsors a Tuesday and Thursday on, you know, 18 and overnights at Pegasus, but that's like a bar environment.
Mm-hmm.
Our environment at the community center is such that you can actually have a normal conversation at a normal decibel level
without a cover charge even.
That's true. But the Youth Services of Pittsburgh does sponsor the Unity Ball, which is like a gay youth prom every mm-hmm. year. And that is really important because it's not too common that a young person in 12th grade would take a same-sex date to the prom, although that is changing. There were two girls in our group who went to the prom together this past year.
Well, I went to my prom with a guy, but that's because we couldn't get dates. So I suppose the situation's different.
I think that was just an excuse. I've heard that before as well.
I mean, doesn't he just scream like a repressed homosexual? I've been working on him for a while, he being my co-host, Dr. Sexopolis. But, I mean, you're an unbiased observer. What do you think? if he called in saying he was having issues, what?
It depends what the issues were.
I keep dressing my girlfriend up as Humphrey Bogart before sex.
I think you have real issues. and fashion issues as well. And, you know, sometimes when people call, they would rather speak with a woman or they'd rather speak with a man. I mean, for some young people, it depends who they feel more comfortable talking to. And as I said, a lot of our calls are extremely mundane. We've only had a few what I would consider crisis-related calls, and we've had training from Contact Pittsburgh, and we sort of have a deal with Contact Pittsburgh that we try to connect with them, the callers with them, because they are the more crisis-oriented line in the city, and they're open 24 hours a day. And that is a good resource as well. But luckily, most of the people who call us are not on the brink of disaster. Sometimes they're confused, sometimes they're lost, sometimes they need directions, but hopefully we help them, hopefully, and sometimes they call again. We do have a share of chronic callers, unfortunately, just like any phone line does. And we try to be nice. We tolerate it for a while. And sometimes we have to give them
chronic caller, you mean you're their free therapist?
They call repeatedly. They call with the same thing. They pretend like you don't know who they are. So we set a time limit with them.
But you said you don't have caller ID and you don't. Do you know who your regular customers are just by the sound of their voice or just by their?
Sometimes we do. Sometimes by their name. Sometimes by the story. Sometimes they're extremely lonely people. And I think they just want attention.
By the way, if you would like to contact Sharon Davis right now live on the airways, the station phone number is 412-621-9728. If you're a lonely chronic caller here on the CMU campus, you need merely get up the emotional and physical strength to dial five digits, 89728. What we're getting from you very clearly is that this is a fantastic resource, both informationally for emotional support, for all kinds of purposes. But I have to know, like, can you tell me, like, a story of your wackiest caller or your most far-out caller? I mean, this is not to mock the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh, which does a fabulous job, obviously. But just to lighten the tone, or not to lighten the tone, I mean, just to, like, just
cause
tell me a fanciful story of...
Because people like comedy.
People like to laugh.
It's the best medicine, you know.
I've put you on the spot.
I'm trying to think of a call that I thought was really, really funny. Oh, I know.
It was when Soupy Sales called and threw a pie at you.
A guy called. He was visiting Pittsburgh from Tennessee. He was in town staying at some hotel near the airport. He was at a hairdresser's convention.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now I thought that was kind of funny in and of itself. He called us wanting to know where he could go, what bars there were that he could go to. So we had a discussion about what was going on at the hair convention and the different styles, the new innovations in hair treatments and things like that. But I thought the funniest thing was that I asked him if he was planning to go out by himself. And he said, I don't know anyone here to go out with. And I said, you're at a hairdresser's convention. I'm sure if you just shouted out down the hall that you were going out to Pegasus or the Eagle or something, you would have no shortage of people going with you. And I thought that was really funny. So he was very pleasant and very fun to talk to. Occasionally we get calls from people from, like, real cities like New York, Chicago, and we have lovely conversations with them about, you know, what's going on.
The phone board is going to light up with that comment, let me tell you.
Sorry, and I know that some people get on me for saying this, but I mean, larger cities, excuse me, more cosmopolitan cities, which is more of an active community than what we have here. And, you know, we compare notes. Occasionally, we got a call, which I thought was very, very nice, from some guy who is straight. He's a father, and he is a Boy Scout leader. Mm-hmm. And his son is in the Boy Scouts, and he is very appalled by the Boy Scouts' anti-gay policy. And he wanted to alert us to the fact that there is going to be some kind of fundraising, some awards dinner in November for some major person in the head of the Boy Scouts, and that we should be aware and act accordingly. So I thought that was pretty cool. Let's see. I don't know. Somebody called and asked us if you can get AIDS from an oily condom, and I thought that was kind of funny. And
oily condom?
I had to – what do you think?
There's so many things wrong in that statement.
Well, so how did the condom get oily, I guess, is my first question. You know you're not supposed to use condoms with
you're
oil.
Always water-based.
That was my major question for this person. I think he was calling from a phone booth.
I mean, but in the
no, but actually, it got to a major, a valid point.
Yeah.
The question was, how did your condom get oily in the first place? Is a good point because it points out, you know, the type of lubrication that you should use. Obviously, with latex condoms, you need to use water-based lubricants. You know, and if this was oily from, like, vegetable oil or Vaseline, I mean, that wasn't good. Maybe he bought a condom that was already pre-lubricated, and that's what he was talking about. So, but can you get AIDS from a condom that was already oily?
That's what I'm wondering. If he used such a condom and maybe it didn't mean it might have leaked from the other partner.
I had no idea, honestly, what he was talking about. I mean, we just kind of addressed the issue of
you tried
to
help.
Did it come that way? Did it,
so to speak?
Did you make it that way? And just like the
project.
Basic. Yeah, that kind of thing. And no, I don't think you can get AIDS from a condom if it's, you know, not. I mean, just from a condom itself, you can't get AIDS. So.
Certainly not. So I would like to time warp for a minute just to this question of role models, because you and I were talking on the phone about role models, and I don't know if anybody noticed, but we were both in Pittsburgh this week, Sharon and myself. Of course, you were not in Pittsburgh because...
The bulk of my hardware is in geosynchronous orbit.
Exactly. And we were actually talking about this very thing.
And our pictures were right next to each other, honestly, and that was kind of cute.
Oh, I see what you mean. Not in Pittsburgh, but in Pittsburgh.
In the
publication.
The
weekly publication.
Yes, you guys are both famous.
And we were talking a little bit about role models, and I thought how fantastic it was. You know, not only does the service exist in Pittsburgh. Someone finished my sentence.
Pittsburgh. Not only does the service exist in Pittsburgh.
But in general, I think it's a lot easier, I think, you tell me, that young people are finding. I mean, I said, this got quoted in the article in this week's in Pittsburgh, where I said, you know, if I had a gay uncle or a role model or somebody that I could kind of look up to and get advice from and hang out with, I would have come out, you know, much, much earlier. And I'm wondering, is it true these days that kids have those kinds of resources, they have that kind of, I mean, they watch Will and Grace, whatever, and they see enough of that they feel more comfortable coming out than maybe you did, maybe I did. You, Dr. Sexopoulos, still aren't out. Feel free to answer that question however you like.
I'd rather not make a sweeping generalization because, believe me, even though the world has changed for many young people and certainly the culture has changed, and obviously the Internet has played an extremely positive role in this regard, there are so many young people who feel incredibly isolated. I know of 2 years ago, there was a girl who went to Seton Hill, and she did commit suicide because one of the issues that she was confronting and addressed was that she felt no support surrounding her lesbianism. And it was quite unfortunate and tragic, especially in this day and age. These things should not be happening anymore. Young people are coming out younger and younger, and it does sometimes bring with it a great deal of freedom and self. You know, it's part of the developmental task of young people or whatever it is to come out, and that is something that has straight people don't really have to deal with because they're part of the dominant culture. But when you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or even transgender, although it's not a sexual orientation issue, it's an issue of coming to terms with the truth of who you are, finding the courage to do so, and then exploring the world, getting your needs met, finding a peer group. And most of us can safely say that in high school, although things are changing in that respect, too. Having a gay support group in high school is still far and few between, although I think that there are two in the Pittsburgh area now. I'm very proud to say Massachusetts, sort of in every school, every high school. And things are moving in a really positive direction. I know that there were certain lawsuits brought that prohibited gay-straight alliances, which is basically the name of a gay, lesbian, straight student support group, which is open to everybody. I know that Salt Lake City brought a suit, Orange County in California brought a suit, and it was violating something called the Equal Access Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which gives kids a right to have any kind of student club as long as they follow the rules. That non-academically oriented student clubs. If you're going to have one student club that's not academically oriented, you have to have them all. And that's right. Why there was this lawsuit. It was ridiculous.
And don't I remember the Utah people fighting this by actually banning all student clubs?
That's right. They did. They did. It was absolutely ridiculous. And recently, Salt Lake City announced, the school board announced that they were going to drop the suit because they were going to lose anyway, and it's been costing them tons of money. And basically, they were violating the students' rights, and there was no way, ultimately, that they were going to win. Now, I just want to say that this really only applies to public schools, and so kids that are going to parochial schools or private schools, in other respects, do not have the same kind of civil rights. But one of the support groups that actually exists is in a private school in this community. I'm very, very proud of that, that the kids stood up for themselves and they fought for it and they made the argument and they're doing very well. And I really think it's helped a lot of people survive, you know, feel better about themselves. One of the things I do want to say, though, is that – oh, I'm sorry.
For a second and ask which schools.
Sorry. I'll shut up.
I just wanted to ask which schools. You mentioned that there are two schools that had them.
Shadyside Academy and, I believe, Mount Lebanon High School.
Okay.
There are probably others in the works. It's going to keep continuing. It will become a national trend. It's just there's no reason to stop it. I think that what's wonderful is that young people feel that they are entitled to the same civil rights as other kids and that they're willing to stand up for their rights and fight for it. Now, certainly there are some risks involved, but some of these kids are certainly willing to take them. And the law is on their side. And what can I say? I'm very proud of these kids, and I think we should all be. They're role models for everyone. Sorry to get so serious all of a sudden.
That was inspirational.
That was a touching moment.
It was.
My normal, you know, array of jackass comments isn't really appropriate.
Right, my toolbox is empty here. I mean, what I was doing with that moment of radio silence was
meditating,
revering the moment. And
I believe that you said in your article that you met another boy when you were 15 years old. Is this really true?
The article in this week's in Pittsburgh magazine.
Yes.
That my picture is in, and in urine as well.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. What you think? What
his fantasy life isn't quite that rich yet.
I mean, I was 15 too. I mean, we're
no,
both 15,
I understand. You were both 15 at the time.
Yes.
Hot computer club action.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Where do you want to go with this? Did you want to ask me how that happened, or did I ask you?
No. Well, I guess when we were talking about young people and coming out earlier. Now I know that it's very common for young people to have same-sex relationships, and actually even people who will end up being gay to even have opposite-sex relationships as well, and that's just part of the thing. But in terms of finding this other boy, the computer store, I believe, or whatever you were saying, I mean, I was just wondering, was this unusual? Was this scary? Was this exciting? Was this something that really changed your life?
I am much more comfortable now that the show is once again about me.
because I know that you like to bring it back to me, so I was just helping you.
It's all about his selfish needs.
Well, just briefly, yes, it was extremely – it was all of those things, but it was also unusual. I was actually pretty passive in that mode. I mean, I worked at this computer store – computer center, really. I mean, it was actually kind of weird because, like, this was when computers were exotic and expensive, and so this was a place where people could go and use computers. Like, you could bring your floppy disk and, you know, rent
floppy disk, not punch cards.
Rent word processing time for like an hour, right? I mean, not everybody. Well, I actually have a comment about that too. But I mean, it wasn't as popular as the PC is today. And the tangential point I was going to make was that I was actually going to ask you at some point about, you know, the internet is pretty pervasive and it's done a lot for people, but there's still a sector of the culture that doesn't really get a lot of internet access, and I wanted you to comment on that at some point. But first, about me. it was unusual. It just happened to be. It actually turned out that two of my friends there were gay, although they didn't tell me that for a long time. And this one. Young man was just unusually aggressive, and so he made the first move and all the subsequent moves, and I sort of willingly went along. But it was actually, I don't know if this came out in the article, it was at least 10 years until my next sexual encounter, because I was waiting for another aggressive boy to do the same thing, and it didn't happen for quite a long time. How was that as a response to your question? Did that get at what you were curious about?
I was just wondering how it changed the way you thought about yourself.
Oh, well, so that, I mean, it was although I had, you know, all kinds of gay sex at 15, I don't think I self-identified as gay. I mean, it was still, like, you know, even forming the word gay internally in my mind was difficult to do for several years after that. I think, like, at 18 or 19 or so, I started to say, you know, I would say – in my mind, I'd say, yes, I'm gay, and then I'd be like, no, I'm not, and then I'd be like, yes, you know, I am. And so it actually took several years until I said, you know, this is permanent. This is really the way it was going to be. I think for a while I was telling myself, because as you point out, it is really common for young people to experiment. I guess I was telling myself either that it was, you know, an experiment or it was just some random thing that happened, but I didn't really kind of identify with it as sort of a permanent state of affairs until I met Jonathan Taylor Thomas and... we had it, you know.
But that's all going to be discussed in your upcoming book, yes. Coming Clean.
So, does that answer your question? We have only
40
seconds
35
left.
Seconds.
And so, what was the last thing I was going to ask you?
Do you have any closing comments to fill our last 30 seconds?
Well,
What's the takeaway message here?
The takeaway message is that we have a sign at the Gay and Lesbian Community Center. It says the Gay and Lesbian Community Center.
Pittsburgh.
Well, it doesn't say of Pittsburgh, but it has a really kind of cool, colorful rainbow type of three rivers triangle that is part of our logo.
Forward in Murray?
We're at 5808 Forward Avenue in Squirrel Hill, which is right next to the Squirrel Hill Movie Theater. Our phone number, again, is 412-422-0114. And our website is www.glccpgh.org. And give us a call sometime. We won't laugh at you.
Unless you deserve it.
Well, that too.
Sharon Davis, it's been fantastic having you on. Dr.
Sexopoulos,
I tolerate your existence for another week. Thanks for
Thank
listening.
You, Master.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please tune in next week at the same time. Good night.